Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Seems to happen every single week. Friday night, favorite night of the week.
Here we are.
Get to hang out, have some fun, talk
springtime.
About springtime. Get to talk about all the great things happening in Pittsburgh's technology sector. Great men and women stuff.
Lots of good stuff. I love that we have the beginning release of our state of the industry.
It's coming up.
I know it's looking backwards, but at least it gives us a bit of a snapshot.
It's the most recent data we can collect for our state.
I know.
We always lag by a couple years because that's when the data is available.
Just released, I guess it's Ernst & Young works with InnovationWorks to release their report. On
their
venture money.
Their venture report's coming out.
Right. But I know that the early numbers on venture money were down by about 20%
that much?
Last year.
Really?
Maybe.
Oh, I didn't know
maybe.
That.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. And, you know, the good news is that, you know, that there were more corporate investments this year, this last year than there were ever before, which is great. But the not so good news is that the arc in the U.S., is that last year was the highest amount of money on the ground since .com.
Across the United States.
Yeah, across the United States. So,
but it was down in Pittsburgh, though.
Yeah, so we were down.
What's driving that, do you think?
I don't know what's driving that. I think it's too early. I think if you ask me in a couple of weeks, I'll put my head more around the information to see. But it doesn't mean that things aren't going well. But what's interesting is we're going to also have a census coming out. So hopefully that'll be interesting. In terms of, the real deep dive, this is a big year for the census.
Yeah. I know you've been thinking about this a lot, too.
Yeah. And the census, in terms of what is our population, there's been a really big effort from the government to really doing a census that's not just, that's more than statistically significant, that the accuracy is really high.
Yeah, they're really trying to narrow that in.
Really trying to do that, and I'm excited by that.
Absolutely.
I've been doing a lot of reading, which I always do because I'm so boring, that, there's this new book that just came out, thanks to one of our board members, Stephen Carter, who's at CNX.
He's good guy.
He leads tech and some innovation for them. And he was up at MIT and he said, hey, I'm listening to this guy talk about his book, and it's called How Breakthrough Science Can Revive Economic Growth and the American Dream. And, it's called Jumpstarting America. And there's a section in there on Pittsburgh.
You have
that
a hardback, too. It's impressive.
I love hardback.
I know. It's like a legit.
Don't you like hardback?
Yeah. I mean, it's impressive.
I feel like I'm reading. I never made the movement into a Kindle.
Books are good.
I know. So anyway, they're talking about quality of life. They're talking about the major problem facing superstar cities is the constraints on real estate that have driven, housing prices up really high, like in Seattle and San Francisco and New York.
Can you imagine having to drop like $1.2 million to own a ranch house? I mean, to me, it's just,
no, I wouldn't be able to eat.
Bends my mind, yes.
But the other thing is, another issue is how long workers have to commute to their jobs. Commuting makes people very unhappy.
Right. I guess you
very
gotta,
unhappy. So pause with that, right? Okay. Now, you remember we just got rated in terms of our traffic situation here in
Pittsburgh is not good for the traffic right now.
Right. And so also safety. People really care about safety and places to live. It's back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, of course.
Exactly.
So this is an example that I just wanted to share. So they talk about a great example is Pittsburgh, this city of 2.3 million, which they meant the region. It's a little off. They're saying that has a highly educated population, 35% of the people 25 and older have a college education. You and I know that it's between the ages of 24 and 35. That's what they're saying here, and that is quite entrepreneurial. They're saying that there's 0.4 patents per worker, more than double the national average.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either, right? Huh, so that's sort of interesting. Yeah. This book has just been released. Again, I'm taking an excerpt out of a book called Jumpstarting America. And as we know, both Jonathan and I are critical thinkers, so we don't just take information as fact, no matter who's written it. And they're talking about has excellent schools, 14 top 20 science programs, mm-hmm. and an average of more than 100 undergrads per year going to top PhD programs. So that's Pittsburgh. We're still talking about it. Low housing prices. They're saying an average house is $183,000.
Sounds about right.
Does it seem about right?
Yeah.
In the region? Yeah,
I think so.
That might be right. And that's below the typical and comparative MSA. Low crime rates, 29 not violent crimes per 10,000 people, which is about 10% below the national average. And they're saying that there's a downside to Pittsburgh, that it's the long commute.
The commute
that many people have to endure.
Yep.
That only 60% of the people commute less than a half hour compared to the national median of 72%.
Mm.
So isn't that fascinating? So it's commute distance, which you and I have heard even in our own offices.
Well, even ourselves. I mean, thank God I ride my bike to work a few times a week. And so I don't count that as a commute. I count that as me time. But on the days when you do take your car, for me, my commute has almost increased by, I'd say, 40% since we moved to our new offices in Nova Place.
But how many miles difference is it?
It's only 2.5 miles difference, but that 2.5 miles is adding 20 minutes to my commute because it's going through the most congested part of the city. When you're getting from the parkway, or when you're trying to get to the parkway from the North Shore,
right?
It is always a snarl to get over. Whether you're taking 28 or the parkway, it takes forever to get home.
Well, but what really jumped out at me,
yeah.
right, was the fact of happiness and commuting, right? Now, I'm originally from New York. I haven't lived there in a long time. I was raised in traffic. I just
right.
sort of just was a way of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
I no longer am interested in that at all now that I've been away from it.
Yeah.
And I, like you, what, I've added 2.5 miles to my yeah. commute, and it's been like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like a
shift. Well, it's crazy. So I calculate that out. So I'm spending like almost an extra 2 hours of my life
I know.
A week just sitting in my car. And I don't want to complain, but I just want to say sometimes like that makes me kind of mad.
Well,
I feel
it's
like
interesting.
It's
remember
it's
when we moved there and
yeah.
you and I were trying to figure out cool ways to get to the East End?
Exactly.
And you know, we don't live, well, you live going through the Squirrel Hill Tunnel. I
yeah.
do not. But
right.
my point on this whole rant here, or just
yeah.
this discussion, is that even in our small second-tier city, if we are going to grow, there is no way that we can absorb this kind of traffic.
Exactly. Because we're already at our limit, I feel like, to a certain degree. So if we have more people, which we want and
right.
need to come in here, that's only going to make the
right. traffic. And the correlation between
right.
commuting and happiness is high.
Yeah.
So as someone who runs a company, yeah. I want my people to be happy. I want my great people to be happy.
Right. Interesting.
But that adds a twist.
I like the way you're thinking.
That adds a twist.
It's scary, though.
That's a little concerning.
That's what we're facing here.
So that's why the woman who runs the Port Authority, we need to help her.
Yes.
We need to rally around her.
Good point.
So that we can get buses and light rail in our city.
Amen. We need more.
Because that's what we need, and that's what new people who are coming here want.
We need to move more people around more efficiently. And if we're going to be a great city, we got to be able to compete like that. So I like what you're thinking. What's the name of that book again, one last time, Audrey?
It's called Jumpstarting America, How Breakthrough Science Can Revolve Economic Growth and the American Dream.
Are you going to add that to the PTC library?
Yes, I am.
Very cool. I might check it out. I have my card. We got a great show in front of us tonight, Audrey. We have Karen Glatfelty from the Allegheny County Parks Foundation stopping by to talk about the new Heartwood Acres Sculpture Garden. Why is it on Tech Vibe Radio? Because quality of life matters for tech companies. That's why. Very excited about the work that the Parks Foundation is doing to get people outdoors. Quality of life matters. We have Bob Houlihan from All Water Systems stopping by tonight. And we also have Arvind Handu from VisVero. Very cool companies here on Tech Vibe. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Keep your dial tuned right here. A lot of fun is coming your way, I swear. Learn more about us, pghtech.org. It is that time of year, Audrey. I'm super pumped because it's the Allegheny County Parks Foundation's Pour in the Park next Friday night, May 10th at South Park, my favorite county park.
I know it is. Why do you like South Park so much?
It's like it pulls at my soul. There's something about like the history with like the Whiskey Rebellion there and the
fact. Oh, I don't know any of that.
Yeah, and it's just that's where I, you know, cut my teeth learning to ride a mountain bike back when I was in college. And
you used to drive from the city?
From Mount Oliver, yeah.
Oh, from Mount Oliver.
Which is basically the city. And South Park is just this near and dear thing to me. But we also have eight other county parks that are almost as cool as South Park. And they're all represented by the Parks Foundation. And we have Karen Glotfelty with us, the executive director of the Parks Foundation, to talk about all the great work they're doing and the events they're holding to put a spotlight on these awesome parks that make Pittsburgh and Allegheny County a great place to live. So, Karen, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
Any bear sightings lately in any of the parks?
Oh.
I'm just putting that on the table right now.
You know, I knew I should have checked on that before coming.
I know. Or turkeys. How about over at Carnegie Mellon the other day in their I&I Institute, a turkey flew through a second floor window?
Oh, my.
Oh, what happened to the turkey?
He's in
oh,
the oven.
You don't care about
he
anyone
flew,
else, do you?
Into an oven.
Do you hear that? Yeah.
He did what?
He flew, went, right, flew into an oven.
Into an oven and dinner
no,
was served.
I'm now. Kidding.
I'm not true. But he did fly into a building, so yeah.
Well,
we
did you have... hear about that?
Yeah.
Flew into the building, broke the window.
Did it kill the turkey, though?
Oh, my gosh. Let's go on. Let's anyhow, carry on.
We digress. We have more important things to talk about than turkey.
I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat turkey. I get that, but I really don't care about that turkey. But it smashed through a big window.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'll show you a picture of that.
Scary.
Mm-hmm.
So no bear sightings, no turkeys. There's turkeys in the
park. There are turkeys in the park.
And
lots of geese and lots of deer.
And squirrels and everything.
And lots of birds, too.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I just learned that bird watching has gone to the top of the list of
outdoor
recreation
activities now. It's so much fun.
And our parks have lots of opportunities for bird watching in them. You know about the eagles at North Park.
Oh, yeah. You mean the ones that are being filmed all the time?
They're being filmed all the time.
Yeah. I know. Those poor eagles.
Yeah. Well, apparently they're fishing up and down Pine Creek, so they're not bothered by the people, apparently.
Apparently not. They're just being eagles and you know, being our national symbol. So anyhow.
Yeah. But eagles have no privacy now.
Mm-mm.
Well, these eagles don't seem to mind.
No, it's not affecting them.
I don't know if all eagles would be that happy, but these eagles don't seem to mind.
Okay, so let's talk about the sculpture garden.
This is a big deal.
This is a very exciting project. I came to the Parks Foundation almost 5 years ago, and one of the very first projects that came to my attention, or issues, let's say, was that the sculptures that had been placed in Hartwood Acres in the mid-1980s were not in very good condition, and something needed to be done about them. And so, you know, there were a lot of ideas that came to my attention at that time, but that one really seemed like something that the county wasn't going to ever make a priority of theirs because, you know, they have shelter roofs that they have to replace and roads that they have to keep in good condition and so
the berms
forth. You know, the
have
basics.
To be perfect on everything.
Yeah, yeah. But the sculptures needed to be paid attention to, and so I started figuring out what could we do, started looking for money, started planning for how could we conserve them. There
are there any famous sculptures in there?
There are famous sculptors there.
Oh.
So Charles Ginever, Fletcher Benton, Betty Gold, Jack Youngerman, these are names from the postmodern outdoor art movement of the late 70s and 80s that are represented in
Because we
haven't had all over the country.
Right. We haven't really had that kind of penetration in outdoor sculptures.
No.
At least since I've been here.
No,
well, you know, the city has had, and I'm not sure that they've enforced it recently, but a 1% for art program where, you know, in that same time period, developers were required to devote a certain amount of money to art as part of their building project. And I'm not sure that's being done anymore, but it was a time when that was important, but and there were some sculptures that were placed on the north shore of the Allegheny River at that same time.
We've
seen
those.
That's about it.
That's from Indian culture, right? The American Native American Indians on the north shore.
Well, I think that was the inspiration, but I don't think the sculptors were actually.
But Hartwood Acres is this great awesome park where now all these sculptures are in yes. position that you can enjoy them, but you said the condition was falling apart. And so now the funding's coming together to restore these sculptures and give them their proper due.
That's right. And, well, actually, the fact that they were scattered all over the park was kind of a problem, too.
And scattered.
Because mm-hmm. they didn't function as a, they don't now function as right. a collection.
They're just
you just
randomly
kind of come upon
it.
Them. It's a rusting, paint-peeling mm. piece of metal. Oh. You think, you know, what is that? Why is that there? There's no information about them. And
that's another good point.
Why
there's
we
nothing
should care
there
about
that
them.
Tells you why it's there mm-hmm. and why it's significant. Exactly.
Yeah. So
but that's all changing now.
So as we began to develop plans for the restoration of these pieces and raise money, it became really clear that it would be helpful to pull them together into more of a collection, to do interpretation, to make them more accessible by all users of the park. You know, right now you have to kind of walk into the woods or walk across a big lawn, or some of them you don't even really want to get out of your car at the entrance of the park.
Exactly.
So this project is going to be creating what we're calling the Heartwood Sculpture Garden to pull together most of the pieces after they're restored, do some new landscaping, lay in some beautiful access sidewalks, lighting, signage, and then do some programming around that,
yeah,
so that people understand
right.
what are these pieces? Well, how did they get here? Why should we care about them? What do they say about the American art of that period of time and in the context of the whole history of American art?
So could Jonathan become a docent?
He could.
With the proper training in knee socks, yes. It requires knee socks to be a docent, right?
Yes, he could be. We're also looking to build an app that you can use on your phone.
Even
so,
better, yeah.
You know, like you do in museums where you can kind of just walk along and right. say, oh, what's that?
So what's the time frame now for this to get rolling?
Well, this year we're sending off 6 of the pieces. Now, there are 13 pieces in the park.
Okay.
12 of them have been there for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Most of them were placed there in the mid-80s when Carol Brown was the county parks director. Mm-hmm. And she had the vision of Heartwood Acres being an arts and culture park for in the county park system.
Definitely.
Really?
So, yeah. And so, and then the 13th one actually came from One Oxford Center.
That was a big deal. When
and
was
it was
moved.
A really big deal. We did yeah. that a year ago. But anyway, the time frame is that 6 of the pieces are going to go off to a conservation laboratory in Ohio. And it'll take a number of months for them to be restored. The condition is such that they have to be in an indoor facility.
Mm.
2 of them are going to be conserved this summer on site in the park, so people are going to be able to see the process
so
of restoration. What does it take?
Is underway, and this is just one yeah. of many projects that the Parks Foundation is working on to make the parks a better place
exactly.
and make it more accessible. We've got a couple minutes left, and I really want to plug the Pour in the Park at South Park once again next Friday. Tickets are available. It's a great time. The money goes to a fantastic cause. At the end of the day, our tech companies need great outdoor resources to attract talent and keep talent, and our parks do that. And the Pour in the Park at South Park, a great way to explore the park, have a couple tasty local beers, great local food. And even if you don't drink beer, there's lots of other great stuff to do there, too.
Yeah, you can buy a designated driver ticket at a substantial discount.
Wow.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, pourattheparkpark.com.
No. And you're going to see Jonathan there.
Exactly.
If you see him, ask for his autograph.
I will sign it. Simple as that. And seriously, go to pourattheparkpark.com, check it out, and also learn more about the Parks Foundation and all the great work, like with Heartwood Acres. And we're going to have you back regularly, Karen, because we need these updates.
Thanks, because there's lots of stuff going
there's
on.
There's so much more we can't
yeah,
even
there's
cover.
So much going on in South Park, and, you know, we have lots to talk about in the other parks, too.
Absolutely. Great stuff. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, we are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Once again, pourinthepark.com to get those tickets. Welcome back, everybody. I'm so glad you're hanging out with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, I'm really fired up for our next interview. And I didn't realize you guys had met before, which I think is kind of cool.
That is kind of
yeah,
cool.
I thought it was the first time you were meeting
no.
Bob Houlihan here from All Water Systems, and that is not the case.
No, I'm excited to hear what's going on with All Water Systems.
There is so much going on.
Is there?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, well, then let's jump in. Introduce yourself and tell the world who you are.
As I said, my name is Bob Houlihan, and almost 40 years ago, we started a company named Lindsay Water Systems, decided that didn't cover enough, and changed it to All Water Systems Incorporated, naturally.
So what does the company do?
We basically pay attention to water needs in all kind of industries. I mean, the initial start of this thing was that realized that there were water softeners in steel mills for their boilers and things like that.
Exactly.
That were sold by manufacturers' reps, which meant they were sold by somebody that sold a lot of different things. And
they weren't specialized in that.
They really didn't know a lot about them.
So they were just, they had a lot of things in their toolkit. Yeah.
And nobody available to service it.
Ooh,
so
that's
it was
a problem.
That fantasy dream, you know.
Right.
One day I'll
but
be the
sales
guy that
guy.
Does that.
But the sales guy's making money selling it.
That was okay. I'm a Pisces. It didn't matter.
You know? I'm a Pisces.
Pisces, that's water.
Yeah.
Right?
Naturally.
Naturally.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
oh man.
I got to sharpen
so
my
for
skills. All,
so you provide solutions for problems, but you also have expertise in actual systems, right?
Yes, yes.
So what does that mean? Does that matter to me as a homeowner, or is it for industrial?
It's all for industrial. We're in institutions, universities,
I was just wondering if you
hospitals.
Could help me with my water issues, but that's okay.
Oh, I can do that. We did that the first 8 years. You know, that was the, you know, build a business without any funding to support it.
Right. Kind of scrappiness. Started, that's scrappiness.
Yeah.
That's
you started out of the back of your car, if you told me, right? You
kind of trunk of the car in the basement of the house.
Exactly.
And a wife that took 6 months to convince it. That's the way it should be. Let
exactly.
Me do it,
that must have been a happy household for those 6 months.
I still get the
months.
Same wife.
That's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
57 years later.
That's
oh
awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm only 39. Figure
I think it's great.
One.
Who cares? Count it twice. It's great.
But you switched to all industrial applications.
Yeah.
You said 8
so
years in.
What kind of products or services do you offer?
We started out with the basic, your filtering water or your softening water.
Okay.
And from that, we just made aware of what industry's needs were. And that's what we look to see if we could provide that support.
Because I think our listeners would be probably astonished to know how much water is used across industry. I mean, and it has to be, you know, it has to be the right condition, it has to be filtered, you know. It's vital, absolutely.
Like, give
vital.
Us an example.
Yeah. Example of chemical plant down in West Virginia that we did some years ago.
Okay.
They're on the Ohio River, and they were using that river water, bringing it into the plant.
Okay.
And their habit of doing was that, you know, we get things loaded up, we got to go and clean this and clean that because there's all this suspended matter in the water itself.
Right.
Especially spring and fall when it's at its worst.
Yeah, if you're taking it right from the river, there's got to be all sorts of junk in the water, like sediments and dirt.
So,
yeah,
so we jump in and we filter that water.
Okay.
Take all that out so that everything else extends the time that something has to be done to it.
Gotcha.
And where we ended up being somewhat unique in that is filtration, that type of filtration was done through a packed bed of media, a vessel filled with media, sand, gravel, anthracite, whatever else might be in there. And we come in with polypropylene filter system made out of discs. And the reason we did, extremely efficient, non-corrosive, and where we flush that filter to flush out all the particles and things we've taken out of the water, we'll use 1/10 of the amount of water that's used to backwash a media filter.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's great when you think about how much water is used
it's
in so many different things. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking plants that might bring in 2,500 gallon a minute of river water.
Wow.
And so what about reuse of water? Are you able to help with that?
That's kind of new, so we did it in-house.
Okay.
An example of that, we do high purity water, deionized water, and we recharge those vessels in-house so that the people in the various plants don't have that. When we recharge that, we use water in the process. We use deionized water to process everything. And when we're done with that, that water would go down the drain, relatively safe water, no problem with it, you know. And as that grew and we got more and more customers in the high purity of water into things, and we thought we ought to take a look and see if we can reuse and recycle this water because it's still good DI water. So we put in a 3,000-gallon tank of water that used to go down the drain, we repiped. Our water bill, which at the time was running just over $3,000 a month, we put this in service, and within 2 months, it was down to $1,500, $1,600.
Oh, my goodness. That's
and we weren't rescuing all the water. Huh. So we turned around and got another 3,000 gallons.
Exactly.
And we've now plumbed and piped that in to take care of that part of it. We don't have the new numbers on that yet.
Yeah, no, that goes to show you, I mean, the ingenuity behind it. Just remind our listeners, we're talking to Bob Houlihan from All Water Systems. He founded that company, so like 40 years ago.
Yeah, started in 1980.
Wow. Yeah. That's so cool, and I love it. Yeah. And you're just getting bigger and better every day.
Yeah, the beauty of it is I'm a laid-back Pisces. So
okay.
We've never been in a hurry, so we haven't lost sight of trying to do it right.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
So it's so interesting. What about technology? What has changed in the last?
It's changing all the time. Like the early days, deionization, I worked at a research facility when I was very young, a long time ago. And their idea of high purity water for developing new products and testing was triple distilled water. They had that up in the, you know, in the loft area of the buildings. And then they would take that water and run it down. And if it was a critical application, they had a little plastic throwaway tube filled with the resin to deionize that water, to bring it up in pure quality. So now we go out and we have the deionized water exchange tanks. That's good for majority of the people. And if you, depending on the volume of water, like our largest deionized water tank will produce, let's say, 30 to 40,000 gallon of deionized water before it needs to come back and be recharged. You know, so if we put a reverse osmosis system feeding that, we've already taken 90-some percent of all the dissolved minerals out of the water. And so instead of, you know, 30 or 40,000 gallon of water, we're doing 300 or 400,000 gallon of
Jeez.
Water.
Okay.
So the economics, and that's part of what right. we do. You know, we look at it and say, this is what you should do. If this is what you can afford to do or this is what you want to do, that's fine. We'll work with you at any level.
So obviously it seems like everything's a customized solution. It's not just a one solution fits all.
It's customized at standard pricing for us.
Very
because this is our makeup.
Exactly.
You know, we're an OEM where we need it. We, you know, we source other equipment or pieces or we, if we're loaded down with work, we'll have somebody that we know well build something for us to our specs as part of a package system.
Excellent.
But, yeah.
Are most of your customers in the Pittsburgh region or do you reach out beyond Pittsburgh?
Majority of it is up to Erie, out to State College, anywhere in West Virginia. When you look at Ohio, we only go in one or two counties deep. And the reason for that, it's a very competitive market for the standard things over there. And we don't want to fight the battle, you know.
I hear you. Absolutely.
They got their market.
Yeah, no, you're making a great living here. So how many folks are working at All Water Systems?
We've just been in a hiring thing for the last 12 months or so, and I think we're up to 16 now.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And also, you work with your family as well, too? You have other family members that work at All
Water? Oh, that's the dream come true, yeah.
How cool is that? Yeah. Tell us about that. That's awesome.
Yeah. My son graduated from Robert Morris. He wanted to come work in the business because naturally when we were working out of the house, I had to help him. With
he wanted to stay home and work out of his bedroom.
Yeah. No, he wanted in the business and, you know, I said, the first thing you do is you get out of college and you get a job, learn what work's all about. And then we'll talk about you
there
coming
you
into the business.
Ah,
that's a good idea.
Like that.
And now what?
That's the way it went. For
he never
years.
Came back?
Oh, this was a sad story. We were out celebrating my birthday with my son and daughter-in-law. Wife, and we're sitting at the table, and Kelly starts, you know, come on, Dad, you know you're busy. You need to help hire Ron, have him help, you know. And I looked over at her and said, this is as we were finishing dinner. The birthday cake hadn't come out yet, you know. We're finishing up with dinner. She said that, and I said, well, you know the deal, you guys. You got to give 2 weeks' notice. You sign a letter of resignation and turn it in, and then you can start in 2 weeks. They pushed their chairs back and left Vivian and I in the restaurant. They went home to write the letter of resignation.
They grass grew under their feet. So how long has Ron been with the business for?
25, 28 years.
Oh, that's awesome. So every day you're working with your son?
No, I'm working for him.
For him now. Yeah. Oh,
you are?
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
well,
sorry.
When I reached that age, he became, I made him the boss. He's the man.
Very cool.
Yeah. He's the man.
He's the man. See, I don't have any responsibility then.
So then you just come on the radio show and just all dressed up with nothing else to do?
No, I mean, what I do is look at new products and see whether they're worth being involved in what we're doing.
Very cool.
Very
new
cool.
Opportunities.
So you have a website?
Yeah, and we just booked Neil to redo it for us.
Oh, so it's allwatersystems.com.
Correct.
Learn about them. Cause it's
well, that's great. You know
It's about 6 years old, and what happens is that's when you put a lot of text, a lot of verbiage in it.
Yeah.
Now nobody takes the time to read that, so we're having it redone.
Getting a revamped time. Of course. Yeah. You guys are doing some really important work, the type of work that it's kind of the unsung work. People don't realize a lot of water to make processes happen, to make industries happen. And you're behind that, making sure the water is there and it's clean and it's at the right conditions, for lack of a better term.
And it's getting more critical by the day.
And you started that from the back of your car for more than 40 years ago. And to us,
so inspiring.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Keep up the great work.
That is Bob Houlihan from All Water Systems, making Pittsburgh proud. Simple as that. I love it. Hey, we're taking a break. We're coming back with a lot more Tech 5 Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, helping tech companies succeed since 1983. Whether it's business development, whether it's visibility, business introductions, finding the right talent, we can help you out. Learn more about it, pghtech.org. It's always wise to keep your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio, because Audrey, every single Friday night, we get to hang out with the coolest people who are making Pittsburgh be Pittsburgh. And when I say Pittsburgh, I mean freaking cool.
And there's never enough time.
There isn't.
So I always want to jump right in.
Absolutely. We have Arvind Handu from Visvero hanging out with us. Arvind, thanks for being part of our show tonight. We're so glad to have you here with us.
Hey, thanks, Jonathan. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Audrey.
It's great. So, Visvero, we want you to jump in a little bit and tell us what you do.
So, Visvero is basically a technology services company, and we saw a little bit of a white space in the service offerings.
Mm-hmm.
And what was going on is we felt that there was a large amount of consulting going on towards like completely innovation-oriented work.
Gotcha.
Which is, hey, there is something new happening. It kind of caught eyeballs. It was cool, new, sexy gadget.
Shiny objects.
Exactly, to go for. And our world was more of, let's get the things done for our clients. So what we focused a lot of our energy on was mainly making sure that there is an execution discipline. Whatever we start, we finish. And there is a well-defined boundary when it comes to delivering on a project. We would come in, do the job, and exit, as opposed to these multi-year, several-year-long contracts that go on with a client. So we have
narrow
focus on what we do.
And so take us through a problem. Give us an example of a problem so that our listeners can understand how valuable your service is.
Sure. So our world is what broadly, and you can't throw a rock these days and not hit it, analytics space.
I threw one and it hit it. You're absolutely right, Arvind.
And we came from the time that was a precursor to the analytics world. So
you were doing this before it was cool, for lack of a better term, right?
Exactly. We were doing analytics projects back from 2003.
Yeah.
And only last 2-3 years, we're hearing a lot more about it.
Okay.
A problem could be, for example, we were called in by a large organization, Cisco, and they were having accounts receivable problem. A lot of money that they're realizing is not getting collected.
That's a problem right there, too.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
And not a lot of money, but still significant, like, not to be missed. In the famous words, a million here, a million there.
Exactly.
Pretty soon it adds up to real money.
A little bit more than a rounding error at that point, right?
So they called us in and said, what's going on? And we took a look at their data set and analyzed the products. And we said, hey, it's odd. It seems to be coming from one particular line of products. And drilling further down into it, making a few calls, we realized it was the customers that were not happy with the product.
Interesting.
And it traced it down to this product intermittently failing. It was a $50,000 engineering fix that opened nearly $4 million of receivables for them.
Wow. That's
what I call a return on investment
Exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Wow.
So that would be a problem.
Okay.
That people would call us in to fix.
How did they know to call you? I mean, what was your reputation out there? Where they're like, wait a second, we're going to Visvero.
Because you have like 70 people, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So mainly our work, where we end up doing a lot of our cutting edge work, is in looking at data, looking at large sets of data, and isolating these what we call causal behaviors.
Gotcha.
What is leading up to it? So in Cisco example, for example, we were working a lot with them on data visualizing, seeing a large set of data and actually just finding clusters of problems.
Gotcha.
So they would call us in, and that's how they found us out about us.
Very cool. I mean, I love hearing that. With the $50,000 project, you saved them $4 million.
Exactly.
That is impressive.
Thank you.
I mean, that's where I'm like, okay.
So what are some of the trends you're seeing? So back, 15 years ago, you were sort of seeing where the opportunities are. What are you seeing now?
again, I think the market is moving towards analytics as, let's say, that new shiny object. Mm-hmm. In our world, the problems still remain. The real challenges are that the data is not clean. The people still don't have a reliable source of information. And that's where we kind of put on our other hat, which is this data integration hat.
Okay.
We allow this data to be freely and effectively communicated and retain its fidelity. And what that really means is untouched, untainted, pure, meaningful data, whether it's coming from one source or many, and how do we make that happen? So that's what our
It's
world...
a scary problem, right? Because we, even I do in my world, make decisions off of data that's incomplete.
Exactly. And, it
and is that okay?
It's not okay. But really the value is in just the reliability of the data. It is about, can we really trust this data? And what happens is, the way I like to describe it, is the first time you are using the gut instinct over data, you're failing that data project. You're not running the company.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Right,
so for a brilliant performer, for somebody who's really outstanding, that might be a good idea. For an organization to ensure sustained, long-standing success, clearly that's where it fails.
And so how did you land in Pittsburgh?
Interesting thing. There was a job ad in a magazine in India that said Westinghouse is looking for engineers.
No way.
No way.
Oh, that's cool.
No way.
In 92, you're like plumbing through and you see this ad.
There's
like
a job ad in a magazine.
Exactly.
Like, come on, flashback from the past.
And
you apply for it?
And there was no email back then. I remember stuffing the envelope.
Oh my goodness. Are you
serious? Did you?
The job application, and it was like, now 24 years later, here I am.
And so they called you in.
And
for
so they
an interview.
Called you up?
They called me up.
On a phone.
And I didn't have a phone. The phone number that I had listed was my friend's. We didn't have individual phones at the time.
Okay.
So this friend calls me up and says, there's a call for you from the U.S. And
you're
I
like,
attended
what?
The interviews.
Oh,
and
that's so amazing.
That's how I'm here.
And so then they flew you?
Exactly.
What did you think of Pittsburgh when you got here then?
Interesting story again.
Yeah.
So I flew into Pittsburgh late night. And I'm crossing the tunnels, and that, I think, is the sight to see.
Was it February?
But it was
September,
92.
October.
Okay.
Right? So you come into, like, nothing on this side of the tunnels, and then
you got
the tunnels cross, and then boom, the city hits you. And I fell in love with this.
Did it take you long to decide that you wanted to move to Pittsburgh to work for Westinghouse?
No.
No.
It was a quick decision. It really wasn't.
You accepted the job right then?
Exactly.
And then you went back home?
I've traveled frequently back since, but I just fell in love with
the
city.
That's a great story.
That is a great story. Yeah.
So how long were you at Westinghouse for before you decided, wait a second, I'm going to build my own company here?
I didn't stay with Westinghouse for long. Okay. I was there for about 6-7 months, and then I ended up with another local company called Icon Office Solutions.
I remember those guys. Yeah, absolutely.
They ended up being acquired by Ricoh later.
Okay. But
that's right.
I was with them for a while. And that's during that process, I completed my immigration process, got my citizenship, and started the company in 2003.
That is so cool.
Wow, that's a great story.
Just to remind our listeners, we're talking to Arvind Handu from Visvero. And tell us about the name real fast, because I think your name is super cool.
So when we started, it was everything about business intelligence used to be like one vision of truth. And we basically took vision and verum, which is Latin for truth, and merged the two together to have Visvero. So that's what the name
stands
for.
So are you hiring?
We continue to hire, yes, of course. So we hire a lot of engineers from various educational institutions, from computer science backgrounds, but mostly also from other business backgrounds. Our business focuses on understanding the business problem. So we're not necessarily looking for computer science nerds, even though we do hire a lot of them. We are hiring from other disciplines. Like, one of our best engineers is a communications major from University of Pittsburgh.
Really?
So we hire from diverse backgrounds.
Wow.
That's great. That makes it important.
Exactly.
Definitely.
So if anyone's looking for a job, they should go to your website?
Absolutely. Go to visvero.com/careers.
That's what I'm talking about. So I just love the story that, like, you came here, worked for Westinghouse, started another company. You're like, I'm doing my own company. And, you know, wow, what's 15, 16 years later, what, 70 people?
Exactly. Yes,
business
70
here?
People here.
We need 100 more of you here in Pittsburgh because you're just making all the right moves. What would you say has been one of the trickiest things to getting your company up and running and hitting your full stride the way you've been able to do here?
I think the challenges are same for all small businesses, which is really to find our space, to own our space, and then to be able to communicate about that. I mean, the Tech Council has been a great champion for that, because it gives us that opportunity to get out there and really see what's going on.
Gotcha.
And more than anything else, it's just that feeling that you're not alone. You're not the only one who's having it.
Exactly. Other ones are out there in the trenches fighting a good fight.
It is true. You are alone. It's a very lonely job sometimes.
Exactly.
But you're building the company. You're responsible for a lot of people. And you got to build business. And like Cisco, you got to make sure that your accounts receivable are common. So I would imagine that is a ton of stress. It's a ton of fun. But what you're doing is the future for us here in Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Companies and helping other people build their lives.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Pittsburgh is the city. I tried to live outside of the city. My wife and I, we lived in California, in fact, Santa Clara, for about 6 to 8 months. We lived in New York for just under a year, and we find ourselves that we're coming back to Pittsburgh.
That's great.
So you came back to Pittsburgh.
Exactly. That's great. Do you do anything for fun outside of work?
My daughter is getting ready for college, and I think at 18, that sucks up all the fun that you can have at some point of time. Girls are an interesting entity to raise.
Listen to how polite that is.
I love it, man. Very
girls are great.
They are. Generally, I think they're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just college circuit, college touring.
Right.
My daughter's getting ready for going to Pitt.
That's awesome.
Now.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, great.
We're so glad you're here in Pittsburgh doing what you're doing. Simple as that. Visvero.com.
Yes.
You can learn all about you there. Arvind, what a pleasure talking with you today.
Hey, thank you so much. Thanks for
Such
having me.
Awesome stuff. This is why we do Tech Vibe every Friday night. We get to talk to men and women like Arvind that are making Pittsburgh
really
a place where they build their companies and do some fantastic work and solve tough problems like that.
Absolutely.
I love it, man. I think that is just way too cool. And if you want to learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council, go to pghtech.org. Audrey, I tell you what, it's 36-plus years, our mission to help our tech companies like Arvind's succeed. And we try to do
that
one story at a time, one business development opportunity at a time, one hire at a time, all different ways we can help your company succeed. Go to pghtech.org. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Have a great weekend, everybody. And next Friday, tune right back into Tech Vibe here on KDK for a lot more stories about what's making Pittsburgh's tech sector just as awesome as it is.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.